Welcome to Sonderlings, integrating Troika system. Let the bio ride begin.
Hey folks, welcome back to Sonderlings Podcast. I'm Danny. Joining me as per the usual, Carly, DB, and Jacob. Say hi, everybody.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
So, we are picking up where we last left off with a kaboom. Last episode, some shenanigans happened, and it went really quickly. So, Vigor decides to go kidnap a poorly made dwarf and kidnaps them, and they faint, and decides that it's a great idea to pretend that they're not a part of the group so that Pith and Nimbus can rescue the poorly made dwarf from their clutches. And that's awesome. That's a great idea, except for the fact that Pith just decided to go do whatever the hell they wanted to do, and went off towards the camp solo and turned the head dwarf into a frog who was then stepped on by their compatriots and promptly died. All the while, Nimbus, in a stroke of madness, stripped nude, covered their body in mud, and decided to pretend to be an idiot when they rescued this poorly made dwarf to get them on their side. And that just all went to hell because the poorly made dwarf actually hated everybody in the camp and was trying to get away from them. And so now you're all speaking with the poorly made dwarf, trying to lay plans for how to get these miscreants out of the mushroom grove. Yes.
I can't remember. Is Nimbus dressed? Did he ever get dressed?
No, so. you have not specifically put your clothes back on, to my knowledge.
Yeah,
so that's cute. Can we?
Mm-hmm.
I would really appreciate it if you could go ahead and take care of that. I don't like the view.
Okay, I'm gonna do that.
Beautiful. While Nimbus is getting his clothes put back on, and probably wiping or attempting to wipe some of the mud off of his body, I'm gonna go ahead and catch up everybody on the details of kind of what occurred over with the encampment when I was out in the woods. Kind of give the breakdown of the fact that it seems like my plan maybe did have some benefits. I might have potentially scared some people a little bit, thinking that maybe there was some godly intervention, kind of explained that I had yelled a little bit. And I also give the number breakdown, you know, kind of explaining that there seemed to still be three who hung out in the camp. I believe six who headed east and four who headed west. So the group is a bit splintered. Thumbs up. And kind of give the rundown on that.
Yeah. So the question remains, what are we doing next? Where are we going? What are we going to try to handle? How are we doing things?
Well, this is a dangerous mushroom forest, and the camp seems ripe for the plucking. So we should go and beat those three dwarves, steal all of the camp's goods, and then make our next move, I think. For we shall hold all of their assets and use it as leverage.
I'm kind of like right next to you guys, but there's sort of like just
you're
enough
really
brush. No, but there's like, I can hear everything that's going on, but there's like enough underlayer that it's kind of like a Chinese curtain, you know, like
you think there
my
is.
Clothes are going over the top. Yeah, exactly. And I've been standing in front of you guys naked for like an hour, so it doesn't really matter. But I say,
you're discreet. Okay.
Yeah. I second that. I think we just go tear up the camp.
Well, listen, boys, I'm not so sure that we should be going in and tearing up a camp that may have some resources that could be helpful to both us and potentially those who live in Cylindria's Grove in the first place. Let's not maybe cause too much more damage, but I would love to take care of those three miscreants who hung around.
So I will tell you right now that all of these miscreants are are just hardened vagabonds. I doubt that you could easily take them in a fair fight, let alone an unbalanced one. And well, as you can see, I'm gonna be good for nothing, just absolutely nothing. So you may want to find a more clever solution to your problem. And this harkens back to, you know, maybe you had a vision about how to handle these issues, not through brute force.
Well, yeah, but they're separated. They're down to like mm-hmm. three.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. Everybody got their character sheets?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, cool. Go fight them.
So listen, Bob, I don't love that you don't think that you have a whole lot of usefulness. If you don't want to go back and show your face in front of the old people who kind of forced you to do some guard duty for them, I can understand that. But I feel like your usefulness may instead lay more in the realm of knowledge, my buddy. And I'm wondering if you know of what kind of weaponry might be around the camp, if there's anything dangerous, any areas they would typically lay traps. Maybe you could give us a little rundown so it makes holding down the camp, getting in there, taking it over a little bit easier.
Ooh, yes. Were there any explosives?
Okay, question. Vigor. Maybe not so many good explosives. Question. I don't know if you need to have any more. Well, your personality is explosive enough, Vigor.
Maybe it's a place I could just avoid, you know. Fire can be unpredictable, you know. So
I still don't like him.
Well, listen.
Nimby, he grows on you, don't worry.
So, here's what I will tell you. This is, frankly, your perspective of traps and things of that nature seems to stem from some sort of other system that would be kind of similar to this, but not this exactly. You know, when construction crews go in to work on a project, they don't usually booby trap the place. It kind of breaks OSHA standards. So really, you're just going to have to worry about, you know, like them being stronger than you, and not being super excited about missing out on the large amount of money that you're probably getting between them and but I mean, I'm sure you can come up with a creative way to get around this. Like I said, a clever ruse.
I have already thought of one, my good man Bobble.
We talked about this. My name isn't Bobble, it's Bob.
Ah, yes, Bob. Well, you do not know this. Although I took the image of a demon, I was still myself in appearance, correct? But I have a trick up my sleeve as I gesture with like my long flowing red sleeves. I can assume the shape of anything smaller than a piano. Which means I could assume the shape of a precious gem, and you could return this gem to your camp, waving it about proudly. And I'm sure these three ruffians, eager for the riches, and thinking you are an easy, easy target, would snatch me up and stare at me into my many beautiful fasts. And with that, I could unleash my spell, a flash of blinding light that would leave them wandering about the dark, unable to see.
What is say that? You? What we would pop in with some maybe some weapons, take these boys down?
Yes, but wait for my word, or else you will be blinded yourself.
I don't know that.
No, go ahead, please.
I don't think weapons are going to work. I mean, we're going to have to come up. I like the way you think. I was kind of thinking something along the same thing. Like, if they're going to look for the 1,000-pound canvas, I don't know if maybe we could you could turn into something that looks like the 1,000-pound canvas. What I'm trying to figure out is how we dispatch them without having to dispatch them in person.
Oh, well, right? There's lots of rope in the camp, so if you were to incapacitate them, you could easily tie them up.
Okay. So, let's go look at them. You want to go look at them? Let's go up the hill and, like, peek over and just see what's going on.
Okay.
I would happily show you to the area in which I utilize some cover to be able to cast my spell. Kind of motion back towards the direction that I, you know, was standing in before.
Nimbus just kind of reaches down and scoops up a twig on his way.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
Vigor, what are you doing?
Follow. I'm curious to get a look at these. Size up, our targets.
Other than being bummed about not getting to turn into a diamond or blow stuff up so far.
he's very grumpy.
Plans, but it
full,
only makes me think harder.
Full disclosure, that was a brilliant plan. Like, I don't know why you guys didn't jump on that in the beginning. Like, that's a really good plan.
Yeah. I'm not upset about it. I do also, though, want to make sure that we get, like, we've been talking for a little bit. NIMBY had to change. I'd like to get an updated view of the scene before we skirt down, but I do think that that is probably our best plan. And while we are walking back towards the cliffside, I do make sure to kind of lean back and doing my best to make sure that old Bob here does not hear me, because I know he's not always the biggest fan of Vigor. I give him a little pat on the back, and I tell him that I do think his plan was worth considering.
So
you'd be an exploding diamond?
Oh Lord. So as you're getting closer, I am going to need, let's just call for one person to give me a sneak check, and if nobody has sneak, then give me the skill check. It will be opposed because these people are scared, so they're actively looking for threats.
I got 10 and my skill is a 5. So
okay. So things seem to be going well.
Yeah, I think I'm being very quiet. I'm very confident.
So as you're getting nearer, you're noticing that it's kind of comical. Like, it's just three vaguely humanoid figures standing back to back to back in the middle of this, like, clearing. And all three of them are doing that, like, did you just see something? No. Did you just see something? No. Okay. And, like, very, very scared. And they've all got brutal-looking weapons in their hands. And look like they actually kind of know how to use them. The camp is, it's not like everybody trashed it as they were running away. People were more concerned about running away than they were about knocking things over and running into things. So the camp actually looks pretty organized. They've been here for a couple days. They just got to cutting down the mushrooms, if you remember. They felled one of these giant mushrooms. And you can see that there are a lot of supplies here. It's several tents. It's laid out to accommodate them for the duration of this expedition. And, you know, they're not trying to go back to the lodge at night. They're staying here. And so the only three that you can see are those three. It, in reality, if you think about the timeline, it hasn't been super long. Right. And so it's kind of that sweet spot where if it was just somebody getting startled and running off, they would have come back to camp by now. But they couldn't be expected to make it back if they were, like, seriously scared and running. So you're in that sweet spot. And that's essentially what you're seeing.
All right, so as I see this little cluster of three kind of back-to-back, since I am leading the charge, I kind of throw a hand up and whisper back, doing my best to be as quiet as possible. I let the team know that there are three people standing guard. Quiet. They look alert. and I look back to Vigor with a knowing look, a little raise of the eyebrows, a little wink, wink, like maybe this is the time to enact that plan. They're closer than I thought they would be.
You can't see it behind my mask, but I'm grinning and I throw out my arms to the side, and I pray this works. I assume the shape. Oof. No, I do take a damage. I do take 4 damage, though. I rolled a 9 on a 7.
You take damage for whatever you roll over.
Try it again, by the way.
I'm gonna. I mean,
just keep paying the piper.
Or hurt.
Do you want to eat a ration before you do that?
I totally forgot. Yeah, that would be great. How much do rations heal for?
1d6.
I got kind of a funny thing too. Like I'm still kind of learning this new,
got
new
a six.
Thing I've got going on. But
nice.
I actually have assume shape as well.
This could be good.
Do you have flash?
I don't, but I do have blind
spell.
No, Danny, I don't. But no, I've got.
I like that you just continue to talk in Nimbus voice.
It's him.
Thunder spell. So I'm thinking that might shake him up a little bit.
Okay. Ooh. Well,
why don't I do that first? Hey guys, why don't I do my thunder spell and see if I can get that to pull off? That might shake him up a little bit. And can I please break this twig? I really want to like hurt somebody. Is that okay?
I am actively laughing in character as well, because in Yongardi, the lawyers would appreciate this request.
I just want to do
a good lawyer.
Does anybody have spells pulled up like easily where they can see what thunder spell does exactly?
Yeah,
thunder is 2. The wizard raises their arms and shouts something suitably ominous. All within 24 meters must test their luck or skill for enemies, or be deafened by a riotous roll of thunder. Luck or no, they will be mightily impressed. Sounds like it might be a pretty good follow-up, though, to me threatening as a god, a pseudo-god. Throwing my voice or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, this is your rodeo. You are all welcome to do whatever you want to do.
I just don't want to deafen my compatriots. Are we within 24 meters of the 3 in the camp?
No.
Okay.
Why don't you just, like, keep that in your back pocket and be ready to do it in case Vigor's plan doesn't work out?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I ate that ration. I rolled a 6, so I overhealed, but that doesn't really matter. Then I cast Assume Shape again. I got a 7 on a 7. Ticked next to my thing. Took another 4 damage, so I'm at 14 health, and I am a large diamond. Because I have to be smaller than a piano, but I can't be smaller than a cup. So I'm a big, like, fist-sized diamond.
So with many beautiful facets. Here, old Danny, of how Vigor, like, you are, I'm assuming, towards the back of the group here. I've turned back to whisper to you all that we got to be a little bit more quiet, and I give you a little wink. We obviously just made eye contact. I see you start to bleed from the nose the first time that spell fails, and then the second time, do you just plop to the ground as a fist-sized gem?
Well, you see him start to bleed from the nose, go, huh, slam a granola bar, and then turn into a gem and plop to the ground. Like,
right,
bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Fishes out a cashew cookie Lara bar. It's like, 1 second.
So my eyes light up at this, especially at the eating of the granola bar. Having spent a lot of time on Quith's head, I'm usually aware of what that means. A spell has gone awry and another one's probably coming. So I rush over to take a little gander at the gem. I mean, I'm tiptoeing. I'm not trying to, like, literally run and create a whole lot of noise, but I pick up the gem, and I'm assuming you said you did take damage, obviously. Is there, like, can I see that you are a hurt gem? Is there a small, small crack?
No.
I'm beautifully made.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
Many perfectly cut facets that catch and dazzle the light.
So, nice. I'm going to need that gemstone.
I am fully taking a gander at it in awe, and I look back at Bob with a real disappointed glance, and I slam it down in his fist.
Good. And he just, without another word, just turns off and starts marching back into the camp, all proud. And from a distance, what you see is Bob marching into the camp. The three, like, turn, look at him, realize who it is, calm down a little bit. And he's got the gem, like, Vigor, you're basically in his, like, fanny pack at this point. And you see him, like, gesturing to the three in the camp, and they're gesturing back, and you can see that they're kind of telling him what happened while he was, you know, on watch. And he is, you know, talking to them, and I'm you're not close enough to hear them because I don't want to have that conversation. And so don't at me. And so then you see him pull out this gemstone from his bag, and the three of them immediately, like, crowd around him. One of them, like, looks shocked right past Bob. And Bob, you see Bob, like, turn. Another one snatches the gemstone out of his hand, and one of them just decks him right in the face and knocks him out. So Bob's not having a great day. But Bob is unconscious, and these three are, like, huddled over this stone, kind of...
Who's holding it?
What?
Who's holding it?
One of the three.
I want to get out my twig.
Okay, Vigor, I know you've been waiting for this moment. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I am going to let the two of you test skill against each other to see who gets their spell off first.
Okay.
I feel like that's the only fair way to do this.
I love it.
Testing skill?
Yeah.
I got a 6 on a skill of 6.
You're testing, we're testing skill, not luck?
Versus.
Oh, it's versus.
Yeah, so you're rolling 2d6 and adding your skill.
6.
In total?
But I got a 6 plus a 6 is 12 total.
Oh. I got a 6 plus a 5.
Oh, by just the skin of your gemstone.
So, you are going, as you're just, like, excitedly raising this twig, ready to snap it, Vigor.
Mm. Roll your spell.
No, you have to try.
Well, I'm gonna, but I'm imagining, have you ever seen when they show, like, the perspective from, like, a fly's perspective? And it's, like, that many,
faceted.
That's what I'm imagining. Yeah, faceted, like, perspective. That's what I'm imagining, but there's, you know, dozens of these.
Right.
Okay. Here we go. I see these. I got a 4 and a 2, a 6, and my flash skill is an 8.
All right, so
I release I issue forth the light of 1,000 suns.
Wow.
All within 20 meters must test their luck or skill for enemies or be blinded for 1d6 minutes.
So that's perfect because Bob is down and we're not that close. We're farther away than that because the thunder spell was like 24 meters, I think.
Yeah. So real quick, we're going to test skill for all three of them. They all fail their skill test.
Lovely.
So all three of them are blind. You said 1d6 minutes?
Yeah.
For 4 minutes. So they're all blind. You are now, like, they have dropped you. So you are just a multifaceted diamond about the size of, you know, two fists, plopped unceremoniously on the ground in the middle of this camp. Bob is unconscious next to you, and your compatriots are off in the bushes somewhere. This seems weirdly familiar. Vigor's there in a camp, Bob's unconscious, and the two of you are in the bushes.
So as soon as I see him flop to the ground and all of these, you know, these three people kind of clearly get impacted by his little spell, I turn back to Nimbus, and I make sure to mention that while they are blinded, they are not deaf. They say that quietly. And I say, let's make sure that we're being quiet and a little sneaky as we approach. And I start to kind of take the lead, walking very carefully towards the group of three.
Okay.
So I've already got my war mitts on, but I'm going to go ahead and take out my net and beater. I'm going to say that I, like, was going to break the twig just because it was in my hand, kind of a one ring scenario. But because he did the flash, now I don't want to waste my stamina. So, yeah, exactly. Or perfectly good twig. So I'm going to pocket that. I'm going to get out the net and beat her and start my... I'm going to kind of go back into a little bit of a primitive primitive Nimbus stance and start doing my little scuffle.
Which makes noise. Like, you're making more noise.
The word scuffle was the wrong choice. No, I do like the crouch, like the, what's the goblin, what do you call that? You know, the like crouch sneaking.
I don't know. That's not sneaky, though.
In my volume, yes, it is.
No.
Does it only work if you sneak like a ballerina?
No.
Like, you can, sneak like, and get down.
You can do that, but like the way that like goblins are usually portrayed moving isn't sneaky.
I think he's trying to, are you thinking of prowling? Like the act of prowling?
I think that's a good word for it.
That's what I think of when
that seems
I,
like a term that should get canceled, guys. I don't know. If I'm prowling around this city. That's what I'm doing.
All right, so
I'm cautiously approaching in a low stance. I don't know what to say.
Are you also naked again while you're prowling? No. I have a lot of questions.
I'm thinking about it.
I mean,
but
Vigor just flashed everyone, so
that's true. I'm on a list.
To adopt this wide stance, I probably have to pull my voluminous robes up over. Voluminous. Yeah, yes. Probably up, so I'm showing a little thigh. You know what I mean?
We had an entire thing in an episode about the word voluminous that I didn't edit out. Like, I left it in there.
Yeah.
And
he's still on the fence about that actually being a word.
We like, voluminous. Checked this.
We literally voluminous. Googled it.
What is voluminous? It's luminous and voluminous?
This is exactly what you said last time.
Well, but that's the only thing that makes sense.
Look, he had part of his forebrain removed before, okay?
Yeah, listen.
It's hard to remember stuff.
No one else here acts as half-brained as Nimbus does in character sometimes, so it feels
No, this isn't Nimbus in character. This is Jacob in real life.
All right, my bulky shining robes I've gathered up.
Just say billowing.
Yeah.
Billowing, yeah. No, they're not billowing. Is there wind? That's a good question. Is there wind, Danny?
I mean, there's wind, robes... the question is how much it's blowing. Like, there's always
wind.
Are
they voluminous, too?
No, your robes are voluminous.
They're just making up words.
I don't even know what's happening anymore. So you get into the camp. Pith, with a semblance of stealthy normalcy, Nimbus basically, like, scuttling like a crab into camp is what I'm picturing in my mind. So I'm going to use the word scuttling. And these three are basically just, like, still yelling in pain and kind of rolling around on the ground, very uncomfortable, because their eyes hurt because the light of 1,000 suns just pierced them. So, you know, that would probably hurt a little bit.
Are the three of them clustered still very together, or when they kind of all got impacted by this spell, is there a little bit of separation? Is one a little further than the other two are?
They're all clustered together.
Okay. Would be nice if Bob was awake. We could do a 1v1, but unfortunately. All right, so since I'm kind of taking the lead here and didn't take the extra time to get into, like, zoanthrop mode for a second, I'm going to first tiptoe my way over to Bobble, who I believe is knocked out on the ground. Correct?
He's coming to.
Okay.
He just got jarred.
Does he look injured at all?
I mean,
he got punched.
Yes,
I don't know
but
how bad
no. Went. Like, okay. He just got punched in the face and was unconscious for a second. But it's something that he can get over.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to go over to check him and kind of make sure that he's stirring fully. And upon seeing the fact that this sweet, tiny, poorly made dwarf was accosted, I mean, so far he's only been, in my opinion, a true delight, a lover of this forest. this fungi land. I want to head over towards, I don't know, whichever one punched him. I'm assuming I saw that. Whichever one directly punched him in the face. And I want to get out my whip and get ready to start trying to hogtie this floundering man.
You remember that there's rope in the camp.
I'm assuming this is being whispered to me, and I look back and I go, oh, I know. I know. I know well.
Hey.
So you're gonna crack your weapon.
I crack my whips. I have a second weapon. I have a knife. I crack my whip slightly, you know, like in my hand, kind of tightening it between my two hands. And I go to start trying to, like, you know, wrap it around a hand or a leg, whatever. It's right in my hands. I don't have to go looking for the rope, you know.
Seems like easier. I'm like, hey, Pith, what if we do like a, I'm whispering this, but I'm like, since you're the voice of this frog god and you've already spoken, why don't you do a hold still, everyone, your greed has betrayed you or something, and see if everybody will just calm down.
I turn back, whip in my hands as you say that, and I look impressed with that suggestion. I look very happy about it. I whip in my hands, turn back to the floundering group of three on the ground. Doing my best to get a bit theatrical, I breathe in a little bit, kind of puff out my chest. Two of my other arms are in the air above my head. I do a little stance for a second, and I let out a thunderous statement. I say exactly the words that Nimbus just whispered to me. In my best growly god voice. And while they are, I assume, reacting, I go to hop on the one that punched Bob.
No, that's you don't get to just do that. So
I have to roll, start, I have to use these.
You start talking. No, you start talking, and they literally are like, look, we're blind, not deaf. Like, we could hear you whispering to each other. We know you're not gods. What the hell is up?
I continue to scream in my full theatrical voice.
Okay, so
if they try
screaming
to come at me, they're blind. So I'm doing that, like, Sharks and Minnows game version of, like, yeah, you know, you can't see me. What are you going to do?
You're screaming. One of them just threw their sword at you.
Can I dodge? Let me roll for that.
No, you can't dodge. You can roll versus.
Okay, yeah, sure. I got double sixes.
Okay, so you're able to whip it out of the sky. And they're, like, standing up back to back to back again with their weapons out, brandishing them, even though they can't see anything. And they're now, like, ready to throw down because you weens went up right next to them and were whispering about your plans. Instead of just, you know, maybe tying them up.
You lay hands on these big bad guys and they're going to fight back. You can't just, it's not like they don't, can't feel their wrists.
Yeah.
So I was thinking if we could get them, like, to be scared enough to
not
resist, then it would
thought
be.
I literally rolled a D6. A 6 is what it would have taken for them to hear you. Guess what I got?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, that's like fine. I gave it slim odds. They heard you. Sorry.
So are we in combat? Or are we still playing?
No.
Or are we still just...
Well, they're blind, okay, so they're not, like, actively pursuing you, but they're all back to back to back. So you could probably come up with some creative way to, I don't know, incapacitate them again.
I mean, they're still all blinded, right, so they're pseudo-incapacitated, but for only a little bit.
Like, they can't see. What if they couldn't hear because of a big thunderclap?
Thunderous clap. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. But you guys are going to have to roll skill to, like, or roll luck to not be deaf. So as long as we're willing to take that risk.
If you're asking me this in game, I turn to you with a big grin, a big, big grin, and I nod knowingly. Do it.
Can I hear as a gem?
We're going to go ahead and say no. You're good. You're just laying there exulting in the fact that you're beautiful. Bob has scurried away. He wants nothing to do with what's happening right now. He is very willing to help the three of you when it looks like the three of you are doing well. And he wants distance between himself and the three of you when it doesn't look like the three of you are doing well. And so he's scarpered.
All right. Thunderspell. That was two, right?
Yes.
Spend two? Okay. I've got seven in it total.
Okay. Roll 2d6.
Oh my gosh.
Did you roll 2 sixes?
No, I rolled a 6 and then a 1. And I was like, not expecting it to work out like that.
I was
that.
Really hoping you hit the oops table again. I was about to be real happy.
Raise my arms and turn into a pig.
All right, so you cast the spell.
Now the blind guys would be really confused, though. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
So you cast the spell, and now we need to know if Pith is going to be deaf as well.
That is true. So I am rolling a skill check, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, test my luck.
Luck.
Or skill for enemies.
Okay. Yeah.
So I got a 5 and a 6, and my luck is down to, I believe, an 8, according to my notes, because we have not rested.
No, you haven't.
So I do not succeed, and I am also deafened.
Okay, so you and the three ruffians in this camp are all deaf as a doornail. And
you look over at me, and you can tell that my ears are bleeding slightly, but the grin has not erased from my face.
Oh, no.
I'm still very excited.
As somebody that's actually experienced that, it's one of the worst things I've ever been through in my life.
Oh, yeah.
What,
no, I'm
bleeding
sure
from
it's
the ears?
Yeah, like having a burst eardrum and just...
Oof.
Yeah. So, these three are now howling in pain on the ground, rolling about. You would also be, like, affected, Pith. You don't just get to play the cool, like, I just turn around and grin.
Like, You act like in Yangardi, literally being, I have literal scars all over my face from the cases I've had to try. You're telling me that I don't have a higher pain tolerance as a person who loves combat and loves the law as much as I do? I haven't been bashed in the head. A 6 and a 1, and I have a skill of 5. So, yeah, okay, I'm in pain.
Okay. Yeah.
Different. It's like catching your fingernail on the inside of your nose when you're picking it. It doesn't matter how high your pain tolerance is. It's like, oh.
Yeah. You notice both of my eyes are definitely tearing up and tears are starting to stream down my face. There's still a grin, but I do look pained.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on the grin. So the three poor, poor miscreants, because now I feel bad for them because they're blind and deaf. They're all basically concussed, and they're just moaning and rolling around on the ground in exquisite pain. So what are we doing?
I'm going to finish the job I had already started before. I guess I accidentally made them decide to attack us. So I re-grab the other end of my whip and I head right back over to the one that punched Bob in the face. And I start hogtying, or attempting to hogtie this person. I'm assuming that's probably a roll versus, like, base skill for me.
I'm just gonna just test your whip skill. Because, like, they're not in any shape to do anything to try to oppose this at the moment. Mm-hmm. So,
I would just do it. So I have a total of 9. Rank of 4 and a skill of 5. And I rolled double ones.
All right. You're clear.
Every time anybody rolls any number, I'm like, oh no.
Right. Is it the double 6? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, which one's which time?
I do it flawlessly. Like, I have tied many a hog in my day with whips.
Well, you've already hog-tied somebody in the last hour. So you're pretty practiced at it. So what's just out of curiosity, what's happening with the other two?
I'm distracted.
Other two people? Well, I go to go find rope. I mean, I assume we peeped some rope. You said there's a lot of rope laying around, right? Yeah. So I go snatch up whatever the closest rope is, and I'm jumping on another one of them.
Cool. All
right. Well, seeing that they each have one, I think it is now my turn to, to come back in my full glory. And so I turn from a gem into my natural form. Is there extra rope?
There's plenty of rope. There's enough rope for you to hogtie every single one of the ruffians, not just the ones in camp right now.
Okay.
I also just had this mental image of you not leaving being a gem and just staying as a gem and waiting in camp for anybody to come back and just one by, like, systematically blinding everybody that picks you up as this, like, vengeful gem. Lost it a little bit there.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna, if the tide turned, I was hoping that I would still be behind the ruffians, and so I could attack them from the rear if it didn't go so well. But it looks like we have it in hand, so I can return
to
the
viewers. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I want to hogtie the last guy. Come here, you. He can't hear me, but I still issue commands.
Yeah, I am going to need you to test skill. And Nimbus, you need to test skill for tying up yours as well.
Okay. Just straight
like a
test
grapple
of skill.
Or...
If you have like a grapple-y type thing, you can use it.
I've got strength. I'll do strength.
Strength.
No, I failed mine. I got a 9 on a skill of 6.
All right, so you're...
I failed mine too.
All right, so... Both of you can do it eventually. It's just taking you some time.
Okay.
You know.
You do notice that I'm standing over you with 4 arms on my hips, looking mighty disappointed in your hog tying abilities. I'm tutting a little bit as I shake my head in disapproval.
This would go much quicker if you would stop squirming. I could save us all some time and reduce him to a pile of ash, but I decided to do it the right way.
Mine, like, throws an elbow back and pops me in the mouth. I'm like, I will break your neck with my mind.
He can't hear a word you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
They can't hear anything.
Oh, by... Hey, quick GM choice here. How long does that... Does not specify how long it lasts.
It's just... It's over now.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it wasn't, like, a timed thing. Until after I'd said that they're all deaf for a while. So basically it's just lasting. Like they're all, it's that like heavy tinnitus ringing in the ears right now.
Right.
And so they can hear, but they're kind of doing the archer like, ma, like, you know, yeah. So they're all tied up. Bob has come tentatively back into camp. So, you know, I may have gotten the wrong impression of the three of you because I don't know why. After thinking back, you know, but hindsight's 20/20. But for for some reason, I thought you knew what you were doing, and like it's
hey,
clear that
Bob.
You don't. It's very clear that you don't.
Take that tone with me, Mr. Bababooey.
Bob. My name is Bob.
What did I say?
You know you didn't say Bob.
No. I know you were saying that I wasn't doing what I meant to do. And look, the camp is ours, as I triumphantly place a boot on a, like, crate, proudly, hands on the hip.
You know, Bob, I don't really love that you're trying to say that we all didn't know what we were doing either. You know, I think I hogtied faster than any of these fools. I did some good work with that whip.
He had 2 extra arms, Nimby. It really wasn't fair, I think.
Hey, I was born like this, all right? It's not my fault.
Yeah, we used rope, and she used her weapon, so. I'm going to say, Hey, listen, I would love to continue this debate, but the other ones might be coming back pretty soon. Let's either hide these guys or take them back to that other, the mushroom dude up the hill, Toadstool. Let's get them to him. Or like put them in the weeds or something so that if anybody else comes back, they don't see them, right?
Oh, there's like a,
a cliff?
I shouldn't.
There's a...
No, there's a portal.
It's a river of lava.
Oh. Yeah, there's a outhouse over there.
Ah, yes. Okay.
We'll wait for you if you have to go, Bob.
No, you can hide them in the outhouse.
Oh, yes. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, then what happens if we have to go?
I've seen you...
You know what? Never mind. Let's just do that. Thank you, Robert.
My name is Bob.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm.
You won't stop saying that. I get it.
Listen, we're just trying to give you a nickname so you fit in. Some of us, I look at Nimbus, have at least two or three names, all right? It's not our fault. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They usually call me some derogatory thing.
I'm going to be like securing really tight... mouth. I can't. I just have been
gags?
Thinking about the gags. Yeah.
You're thinking about voluminous gags?
Yes. Yes.
Are you using your socks?
Securing gags. And I'm going to. No, not this time.
All right.
I'm going to start dragging the first one over to the outhouse.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do a roll for it if you'd like me to, because I don't have strength. But I'd like to try to pick up both of these hogtied individuals, one with my two left arms, one with my two right arms, and start walking the other two. I need you to roll
for that.
Right. I'm trying to show off, so
We know you can pick up one.
Oh yeah, sure. I'm struggling, and I kind of kick him a little bit with my foot as I realize I'm not going to be able to pick him up, roll him over towards Vigor and Nimbus. And like throw the other one over and march behind over to the outhouse.
Mm. The red priest comes out in me a bit. My eyes widen, and I think perhaps he's got too much mass. We could shave a bit off. And I go to reach for my weapon.
So Bob is showing them where the outhouse is. They're all already walking towards the outhouse. So you don't have to leave that as a cliffhanger. Like, you could just kind of tell us what you're doing right now, because everybody's kind of oblivious to what you're doing.
And he's hogtied, so.
I feel like per
and blind, and his ears are ringing.
I do feel like per our previous engagements, there'd be a pretty good chance that either Pith or Nimbus would just go, no, Vigor, without turning around. But
wrong.
We notice he's not immediately with us, and you don't even turn around.
Don't do it.
I feel like I can allow that.
Like the dad whistle, listen, Vigor? You know?
You're lucky, you ruffian. For if my friends were just a bit farther away, I would gut you.
And I sheath my weapon. And I drag him. I don't pick him up. I just like grab his like bound feet and drag him so his head like smashing on the ground. It's like pull him up the ways to the outhouse.
Okay. So you have left, and remember, this was a camp for like 14, 15 people. So it's not like a tiny little one-seater. This outhouse building has some room to it. So you've got, what I'm saying is you have space to store a lot of bodies.
Got it.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Yeah. Shouldn't say those words to the three of you, but I did.
A quick question.
Yeah.
Are there carnivorous mushrooms?
You ask this out loud, because I would love to roll a knowledge or something check.
Yeah, as we get up to the outhouse, I say, look, I get it. You don't want me to lop off a hand or, you know, pull out his guts, because you don't want me to do the killing. But nature take its course, you know what they say. Perhaps, are there carnivorous mushrooms out and about? Pith?
So can I roll some sort of like a just a base skill check to see if I know if I can think of any carnivorous mushrooms off of that? Cool. So I do not, unfortunately. I rolled a 5 and a 3. So I turn back to you and I say, well, you know, Vigo, there's lots of stuff out there that I don't know about. I was just a lowly frog for a long time, and now I'm a young guardy lawyer. Not exactly my massive forte, the carnivorous type. I usually was the one eating, you know, the mushrooms. There might exist some, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. I turn over to our friend Bob, and I say, you haven't happened to see any problematic mushrooms in the region, have you? Something that maybe we could use as a depository for these not yet dead corpses? I say as I kind of nudge Vigor. A glint in my eye.
I haven't seen any corpse-eating mushrooms. I'd imagine that if you left the body in this fungal forest unattended for a while, the mushrooms would probably take care of it, but that would take some time. You know, in a way, aren't all plants carnivorous?
This is true. This is Circle of Life. This is Roberto. You're spitting some truth. I like this.
My name is Bob.
Yes, Bob, you're spitting some truth. You're spitting some real truth, Bob.
We should listen to Bob Betos over here. He speaks wisely.
The most intelligent dwarf I've ever met.
Like,
especially a poorly made one. I'm
appreciating these name jokes, but Bob hates you so much. Like, both of you. Bob hates.
I know, team. And I start reaching into my bag for the slake bottle.
Oh. Are you going to feed one of them to a slake?
I'm going to try.
Smart. Okay. Should we start small? I could cut off a finger or a foot.
Okay, so I did roll enough to be able to easily and pretty quickly pull a slake out. So I'm going to go ahead and pull the slake bottle out of the top of my bag. And I have the most devilish little grin on my face. And I pop that top and toss the slake out of the jar over one of the hogtied bodies.
So I assume all three of you are watching.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I give no forewarning. I just kind of, you know, I say, like, I have an idea. I bet that slate could do it. Bop!
So what you see is straight up something out of your worst nightmares. It's, think of, like, how venom engulfs people. Like, the, you know, the symbiote suit venom.
Right.
Yeah, it's like that, except for it's not covering, it's consuming. And they were kind of stacked up. And it doesn't care, it just consumes all three of them.
I am cheering audibly, like, while this is happening, giving him a real, yes, boy, good job.
Yeah.
You're doing so good, you beautiful boy. Eat them all.
You're growing.
I need to find. There's the slake. I'm gonna go ahead and say that there were two useful normal items and a weapon in their effects, like just on their bodies. Like one of them had a dagger or something, right?
Yeah.
So I need you to roll a d6 three separate times and give me each of the numbers.
So my first roll is 4. Yep. My second number is a 1.
Okay.
And my third is a 3.
Okay, so you get so you get some rope. Right? Another whip.
Wow.
And then about a 1 gallon ceramic, like, planter pot with soil in it. And since this was three living beings that were consumed by the slake, you get three more slake eggs. So that,
that so brings I, your total as soon as this to, is...
I think it was three before, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. So
yeah, so you have six slake eggs.
So, I looking down at these piles, a thought does occur to me right away, which is, oh no, I had hog-tied one of them with my whip before I threw this slake, which is my primary weapon. So I start going in, digging through the excrement in, ironically, the outhouse, trying to see if I can find any remnants of it. And I am shocked to see a brand new whip in the excrement. That is not the one I hog-tied this man with, but I am very pleased. I holster it. I don't bother cleaning it off because it seems closer to God this way. listen, never over old Papa Sherp. and then I do kind of toss some of the rope back and I pick up the planter with kind of a light in my eye thinking, oh, this will be an even better home for that. So that's anti-sunflower seed we have on the ship. Kind of put that off to the side. And I do pass one slake egg to each of my two companions. And I look at mine with all of the delight possible in my eyes. I look like a proud papa. Or mama, you know.
Wow. This is quite the gift. Also, it is clear that one of them soiled himself. Hey, hey.
I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to wrap it early.
Okay. I'm fine with that. It feels...
full disclosure, listeners and viewers, it's been a hell of a week for all of us here at Sonderlings. And so we're going to wrap early this week just to give ourselves a little bit extra time off. Because it's Saturday night and we all need some retreat time.
We do also have a visitor coming. So
So let's do real quick inspirations and then we can all get out of here. Jacob, kick us off.
Yes. Adam Archer 11 on Instagram. He's an artist. I can't remember what all he's done, but he's got a really cool, very unique comic booky style. I love his character creation. He's written a bunch of books and like illustrated themselves, which I think is a really inspiring thing to do. It's like a lot of short stories are like the word that I can, like a serial release or whatever, where it's the short pieces, but it's, you know, to be continued type stuff. I really, really enjoy his art, though. I think it's a very unique style and it's a lot of fun. It's at Adam Archer, spelled like it sounds, and then 1-1, Adam Archer 11 on Instagram.
That Henry Rollins piece is dope.
Yeah.
Awesome. Carl.
So my inspiration this week, once again, stems from The Alley. I will never shut up about it. If you haven't checked it out, you should. The Alleyman's Tarot is amazing. But more importantly, don't roll your eyes like I haven't also dragged you into The Alley. The Facebook group, not like, you know, physically assaulted you. Danny. But there is specifically one person on there that I've done some swaps with. Part of the reason I love The Alley is it's not just about tarot, and if that's not really your cup of tea, it's also just a really awesome creative think tank. So I've connected specifically with R. Thomas Alwyn, who is a really fantastic illustrator, comic book artist, graphic artist, and writer. And just really like useful in general, has been posting a lot of really fantastic like creative inspiration and just kind of like tips and tricks on how to do a lot of just like random, especially like paper edits and stuff. If you're like modding decks, that kind of stuff has definitely contributed some in that. But in general, his art style is really phenomenal. Like obviously he is a comic book artist, so it leans a little bit more in kind of like the graphic novel-y kind of direction. But for anyone interested in checking his stuff out, he's not only a sweet human, but an awesome artist. You can find his Instagram. It's at R Thomas, Thomas, Alwyn, Allwyn. So both in like the, my just side projects has been really helpful, but also from an actual art perspective, I've been digging, deep diving a little bit. And he's great. Highly recommend checking him out.
Hell yes. That's fantastic. DB.
Nice. So I recently bought a book called Rogues, and it is a collection of short stories about rascals and ne'er-do-wells and all of that. My favorite, what got me started was the George R. R. Martin the Rogue Prince or a King's Brother, and it's a story of Daemon Targaryen. I've listened to the podcast or the audiobook of it a bunch of times, but I wanted to read just the first couple sentences. So it says, "He was the grandson of a king, the brother of a king, husband to a queen. Two of his sons and three of his grandsons would sit the Iron Throne, but the only crown that Daemon Targaryen ever wore was the Crown of the Stepstones, a meager realm he made himself with blood and steel and dragonfire, and soon abandoned." Ooh. It is a really awesome story about a daring and devilish prince. But it's got a bunch of famous authors in it. Neil Gaiman's in there. Scott Lynch. Is it Gillian Flynn? So I'm really excited to read it. It just came in the mail yesterday. So, yeah. I'll have more. I'll report back with my future inspirations as I read these stories. But
Patrick Rothfuss is in that too, as well, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Sweet.
Very cool.
What about you, Danny?
Fun fact, I also have a book. I finally got around to reading To Sleep in a Sea of Stars by Christopher Paolini. Most well known for writing the Aragorn novels, like the Inheritance Cycle. It's amazing. Like, really, really good sci-fi. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. It's phenomenal. Read it. That's it. Yeah. Like, just, if you like good sci-fi, go read it. So, that's it. I think we're going to call it for the night. We hit about an hour, so I'm exhausted. I want to go get some rest. So, thank you, everybody, for coming by. You're all wonderful. And this is the part where we say, later, nerds.
Bye.